Blog Talk Radio.
Check the emails. We want to be ready for those days.
We are doing newcomers class tonight, and it's the spirit. The spirit. Okay, and I like to do this particular class in a certain way, and I will send out the document that I've written on this and or put together and written on this that explains the different use of the word spirit in Scripture. Because for whatever the reason, people are using this word, and a lot of times they're not using it in the context with which the Scripture is using it. And so when the Scripture says that these words I speak, they are spirit and they are life, those words will help to bring you to life, but they are not the spirit itself. So they're spiritual words and they will give you life, but they are not the words didn't speak themselves. And so people will try to use that verse and say, oh, I got the word in me. I have the spirit of the Most High in me. That is not true. Okay? That is not true. Anybody can pick up a Bible, pick up the word, and read it, whether they believe or not. And because they pick it up and read it, doesn't mean that they have the Ruach HaKodesh. And so a lot of people are using verses like that to try to justify themselves as having the Ruach, when it is not so. Okay? So I want to go through this word spirit tonight. I want to look at it, and we'll see how far we get into it. If we finish it up, then we'll go ahead and start into the spirit as far as being spiritually baptized, because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the spirit, okay? And so we want to get into this so that we don't have, so there's no confusion, okay? There's no confusion concerning this thing. So many people, I don't know why they do this, but they will either ignore this or just say they have it. But, you know, I'm going to say to each and everyone listening that if you say that you have the Ruach HaKodesh, then you should have experienced something, one of the signs in this book. Okay? This is not something that you should just take to yourself and say, oh, yeah, I got it. Because if you don't have it, you will not enter in. So it's not anything that you want to play with. This is definitely an area that, I don't care whether it's a Christian church or whether it is, and you know, I don't even like to say it like that, but a so-called Christian church or it is the camp, it doesn't matter. This is one of those areas that, because it's not taught properly and people aren't given the proper expectation, people are just coming and they're getting water baptized, but being baptized in the Spirit, for most people, and you know, I hate to say it this way, it's not happening. And Messiah said it must happen. And so we don't want to live our life going through the motions, you know, trying to live holy lives and never have completed this process. Okay? You know, so I can only give my testimony and to say this, number one, it is real. The Most High still fills people with His Spirit. And it is real. And once it happens to you, there is no doubt in your mind that it has happened to you. And so, you know, we don't want to go around thinking, believing that we are water baptized and spirit baptized. These are things that we can know. And it should happen exactly like it is in the book. The book wasn't just written for the sake of being written. So these things that are written in there is because we are supposed to experience them. We're supposed to obey them. We're supposed to do them. And so, I don't want anybody going around and just saying, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit, but not really knowing that it has happened. Because people want this, but this is a matter of the condition of your heart. I just have to say it that way. It is truly a matter of the condition of your heart and where you are at in your submission to the Most High. And so, he says all you got to do is ask. Ask and believe. This is what he wants. But before we even get into that, I want to, as I said, address this word spirit so that when we're reading it in the scriptures, that word spirit has many different meanings. Okay? And especially in the English, the way that it can be used. So when you are studying and you are looking up words, you have to go to the Hebrew to see how the word was used in the Hebrew and then how they used it or translated it into the English. Because, see, in other languages like Hebrew or Arabic, you can have one word that describes something, but in English you got to have a paragraph to describe what that one word said in that language. In the English, it has to be explained out, whereas in that language, the meaning is understood. I hope this makes sense. So you can't just always look at the word in the English if you're looking for the true meaning, what the original intent was. You can't just look at it in the English and say, oh, they use this word, so this is what this means. The English, 9 times out of 10, for one word that you will have, you'll look up the Hebrew, it'll be one word. But the concept and the understanding behind that one word takes a sentence or a paragraph in the English to actually explain it. So that's the difference between the English and some other languages, like the Hebrew, the Aramaic, so the New Testament written in the Greek. So we got to understand that, okay? So that's why I'm going through this process, because, as I said, over the years, I've heard too many people mess this particular thing up, and it throws a lot of people off track where they never get baptized in the Spirit of the Most High. And Messiah said, you must. So, if you're not baptized in his Spirit, you are none of his. It's like saying that this man is the father of your baby and he's never been with you. Okay, it's not my baby. The Most High says the same thing. If my spirit is not in you, you are none of mine. I did not beget you. I did not beget you. So this is critical to every saint, especially those of the last days and those that are the elite. That's not the word I'm looking for. The Most High's chosen, his elect. You got to have his spirit. You can't be his elect without his spirit. And so, a lot of churches don't even teach you got to be baptized that way, and a lot of them just tell you, oh, you just automatically got it. But as we went through the water baptism and we saw that, there were some people who were baptized that didn't get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh until somebody came and laid hands on them. We got some people who received the Ruach first, then had to get water baptized. Either way it goes, you got to have both. And without both, then, you know, you are really taking your salvation into your own hands and saying, okay, I'm just going to roll the dice. I'm going to tell you what I did. I told the Most High, I want to know that I know that I know that I know. I want to have the same experience that these apostles had. I don't want anything different than what's in the book. And he did it for me. So I know he'll do it for you, and I know he's done it for others. This is how critical this is. And so, you know, I don't want us, like I said, running around. This should be the most important thing in your life. And I can't say it any plainer than that. This should be the most important thing in your life. If you have not had the experience that's in the book, it should be the number one thing that you should be seeking after. That you should be seeking after. I used to be in church, see people get filled, and I would get mad. And I would be like, Most High, why not me? What am I doing wrong? But he had to show me. You know, your heart is not right with me. You're halfway in. You're still trying to hold on to some things in the world. I'm not the most important thing in your life. Basically is what he was telling me. I'm not the most important thing in your life. And he had to tell me like this. I will not forever call you. When I heard that, I knew who it was that was speaking, and I knew what he was saying. And trust me, he became the most important thing in my life. Real quick, like immediately. It wasn't no second guessing. It wasn't no, let me think about it. I got to move now because Most High is about to reject me. So it is something that, as I said, I don't want anybody that listens to me not to ever say that they didn't hear it. I don't want the Most High coming back to me and say, why didn't you tell them? Why didn't you teach them? Because this is how critical this is. There's a whole lot of people in church and at church. And again, I hate to say it this way because it sounds judgmental. But if you don't have this, you are just at church. You ain't in the body. You don't have your citizenship. And it's just that simple. The scripture teaches it too and says it too many different times. So, I want you to know, if you're listening to me, I'm going to tell you the truth concerning this thing. I'm going to tell you the truth from my own experience. I'm not going to tell you something that I heard or something that I just read. This is real, and this has happened to me, and I want you to understand that it should happen to you as well. Okay, let us do our statement of faith. Okay, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe that I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Father, we thank you for just allowing us to have the opportunity to become your children, Father. We pray that you would call and that you would choose all that you should call, that you should choose, Father, that they would come. Hallelujah. And they would bow themselves and submit themselves to your word. Hallelujah. To your authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you right now for everything. Everything, Father. We are not worried. Hallelujah. But you have made a way for us. And we thank you right now, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. All right. Holy, let me have the ladies to cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together, Father, and to break bread and to eat from your word, Father, to learn about you and your ways. Father, give us a mind that we might know you, that we might accept you, that we might be pleasing to you. For this is the only way that we shall enter in, that we are pleasing to you, Father. Father, touch every person tonight, whether they be listening on the internet, on Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, whether they're driving in their cars, wherever they may be, on the North American continent, on the South American continent, on the continent of Africa, or on the European continent. We pray that they would hear this message, Father, and the messages that are coming up, because without your spirit, they don't belong to you. And Father, each and every person needs to belong to you. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 24. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 24. Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. We are going to start this thing and let me pull this up. The document that I'm going to send out to you has the Hebrew and the English words in them. And then so that you can see in a certain scripture, the English might translate the word as spirit, but it's not actually ruach there for spirit. It might be another word. And they translated it to spirit. Okay? But this is really a word study so that we can understand that in the scriptures, this word spirit is used a lot of different ways, a lot of different ways. And, you know, even in the English, we'll hear this word spirit, and if I say the spirit is not in you, or you don't have the spirit to do a certain thing, that's not saying that you don't have a spirit, because we ourselves are spirits, okay? Let's get that first straight, that we ourselves are spiritual beings. We're spirits infused in flesh. Then there are spirits that don't have flesh. And then there's spirits that are, you know, as an entity, or a spirit that is like the will. You don't have the willpower to do something. So we want to look at all these different aspects so that we understand that when the Most High is saying that we must be born of the Spirit, he's actually talking about his literal spirit. He has made mankind and designed mankind that his spirit and our spirit are designed to unite as one. And so this is something that the angels don't get. He didn't promise this to the angels. The angels are standalone on their own. But his children, he made us in such a way that we could be filled by his spirit. Now, with that being said, because he made us that way, we can also be filled by some other spirits that are not him. And we got to understand that. So we want to be filled by his spirit and no other. That's why we can drive those spirits out of somebody, because they're in the earth. You and I are also earth beings. We're made from the dirt. Adam came from the dirt. We are earth. We can drive them out of the earth, you and I, because they're there illegally unless they were invited in. And so the Most High won't just come and take over you. That's why he says you got to ask him. I will fill those who ask me. But you've got people who ask other spirits to enter into them. And we were designed that way. So you got to understand what's going on. Okay? So we don't want those other spirits. We don't want unclean spirits or demonic spirits. Because if they get a chance, if they get a crack, they'll try to enter in. They want to be in the earth too. They want to make you do some things so that they can experience it. That's why when you get filled with the Most High, you start thinking about what you're doing, because do you really want to take him with you to do that? So this is for us to have understanding. Because when we're doing spiritual warfare, then you got to understand you have what authority you have and why you have it. So let's go ahead and start this thing. When we look at the Word of Yah, we have to read for context. In the English, you got to definitely read for context, because sometimes you can't understand what's being said without reading like a paragraph or two sentences to understand really what's being said. So we got to read for context in the Word. The word spirit has many different meanings in the scripture. We have to look at what the verse is saying, or the subject matter of the verse, in order to determine what the meaning of the word is within the verse. So we're reading for context. What, you know, you use this word. If I said, there was a hare running down the street, and then the woman's hair caught on fire. I use the word hare, and if you don't understand context, you might say, well, the first one was a rabbit, and the second one was literally some woman's hair. But because of the way the English is written, a lot of times you got to read for context before you can understand what's really going on. Another note on that. Fact. The word fact. If I give you all facts, and I'm going to open up the lines after this lesson, somebody remind me. But if I give you all facts, have I given you the truth? Just something for you to think about. If I've given you all the facts, have I given you the truth? Okay? All right. I have provided the scripture with the Hebrew, Ruach, and the Greek, Pneuma. Because the Hebrew word for spirit, one of them is Ruach, when it's talking about an actual spiritual being. And then the Greek word, Pneuma, like pneumonia. Both of them can mean wind, air. Okay? The word spirit used in the Torah and in the Gospels. Okay? So let's look at spirit as an entity, a being, a spiritual being. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 6. Verse 3. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit, myself. Now we read the verse, John chapter 4, verse 24. Elohim is a spirit. He says, my spirit. He is himself. That is what he's made of. That is what he is. He's a spiritual being. So let's read John chapter 4, verse 24 again. Elohim is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, he is a spirit. That is what who and what he is. A spirit. What type of spirit is he? He is a holy spirit, a clean spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. Before he created anything, before he created the angels, before he created the planets, before he created anything, he was a spirit, and he was holy. So by default, he is the Holy Spirit, the first. That's what that the in front of the holy, the first Holy Spirit, the original article. So when people are making the Holy Spirit be an angel, be some other spirit, making him to be a female spirit when he never identifies himself as a female, they are making stuff up. They are trying to understand what the Most High is clearly not letting them see. In simplicity. So here's something that I want us to consider. And we'll get back to this definition because this is as an entity. And as an entity, the Most High says, all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto mankind. All manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto mankind. Except for blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. You have to ask yourself, why? So let's do an exercise here. All manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man. He said, you can talk against Father. You can talk against Son. But you cannot talk against the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So let's go do this exercise real quick. Let's say that the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is an angel. Okay? Let's make some sense of this. If the Holy Spirit is an angel, then the Holy Spirit, you can blaspheme Elohim himself, and you cannot blaspheme this angel. This angel that was created by the Most High, you can blaspheme the Most High, but you couldn't blaspheme this angel. Does that make sense to you? The thing that is created is greater than who created it. So if that makes sense to you, then I don't know where your priorities are at. Okay. So the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is just another spirit that's part of the quote-unquote Trinity. So we say, you know, we don't say, but you got the church saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, the scripture says you can blaspheme the Son. Father falls into all manner, all other blasphemies, because you're saying Father. There are many fathers out there. But the Holy Ghost, you can't blaspheme. Okay. So if this is just another spirit, then this spirit is greater than the Father. And this spirit is greater than the Son. Does that make sense to you? Okay. When we understand that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is Yah himself, that is who and what he is. He says, if you talk to me, you blaspheme me directly, it will not be forgiven you. You can talk about Father. That's a work I did. You can talk about Son. That's a work I did. But you're not going to talk to me directly any kind of way you want to. You're not going to say anything about me out of the way, out of your mouth sideways, directly. No angel's going to do it. No other being in the creation is going to do it. And you're not going to do it. Because of who I am. I am the Holy Spirit. That is who and what I am. My name, I have many names that I have given. Yah, Yeshua. You call me out of my name, you disrespect me, it will not be forgiven you. You say I did something, you accuse me of something I didn't do, it will not be forgiven you. You don't address me directly. That's how holy I am. You don't address me directly. I won't say don't address him directly. You don't address me directly in a derogatory way. You don't disrespect me in any kind of way. It won't be tolerated. And this is what people are missing. So, real quick again, if this is just another spirit, then this spirit is higher than the Most High Elohim, higher than the Most High Elohim as the Son. Okay? And this spirit, you can't talk against. So, he's greater than. He would be, if you think that he's just another spirit in the Trinity, then he's greater than the Most High Father. He's greater than the Son. If you think that he's an angel, then you got an angel being greater than the Most High and being the Father of Yeshua. Think about that. You got this angel. And it says, that which is conceived in Mary's womb is of the Holy Ghost. If that is an angel, then Messiah's father would be an angel. If that's not the Most High himself, then the Most High is, you know, he's trying to make the Most High Messiah's father by proxy. Somebody else did it, but I'm going to take the credit. No, the Most High said, this is my first begotten. My first begotten, the one that I actually fathered. So I want us to understand that so that there's no confusion. Don't put anything above the Most High Elohim And ignorance is not bliss, because you can say the wrong thing and the Most High said, hey, it ain't going to be forgiven you. So we want to understand exactly who the Holy Spirit is. He is the Most High Elohim himself. It's a title for him, but it is who and what he is. I am a spirit and I am holy. And you're talking to the Holy Spirit. There's not always that I reveal my name to man. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me by the Almighty. They didn't even know my name. I didn't give it to them. They just called me the Almighty. And in your English version of the Bible says, and by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Okay? So, Holy Spirit, that is who and what he is. And when he says that, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if you blaspheme the Most High, period. He said, it ain't going to be forgiven you. Because he is the Ruach HaKodesh. He is the Holy Spirit. So you blaspheme him, it will not be forgiven you. In this world, nor the world to come. That is a person truly without hope. And, you know, I feel sorry for people who have played with that and said something they ought not say. And they say, well, you know, can I repent? I can't tell you you can repent. He said you won't be forgiven. Straight up, you won't be forgiven. What else am I going to tell you? I'm not going to lie to you. I tell you to repent with your whole heart and serve him with everything you got. Maybe he will repent himself, but he says, I am Elohim and I repent not. I change not. Told you if you do this, there's no forgiveness for it. I don't care who you are. So we want to understand that. Number one, my spirit. In Genesis 6 and 3. He's talking about himself, an entity. John 4:24 tells us, takes the doubt out of it. Elohim is a spirit. Most High says, my spirit, I'm going to pour out on all flesh. Of my spirit, of myself. I am a spirit. I'm going to pour out of myself. So this is an entity. And when we reading, we have to understand, especially when it comes to the Most High, that we show much reverence so that we don't blaspheme him, so that we don't say something stupid. You know, there's a lot of people that are angry with the Most High. Why is my life this way? Why did that happen to me? Why did you let that happen to me? Yada, 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 yada. Okay? Even if you feel that way, you should never get bold enough to say anything wicked about the Most High. Nothing. Because perhaps when you have a change of heart, perhaps when you realize that, hey, the Most High is not involved in everything. Sometimes he lets the affairs of men run themselves so that they might condemn themselves. So we want to have this understanding. Let's read this, let's finish this word, this verse. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And Yah said, my spirit, Ruach, shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 20. The book of Leviticus, chapter 20. We'll get verse 27. We're still talking about spirit as an entity, an individual. A man also, or a woman, that has a familiar spirit. What is a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit is somebody that has died in their family and has possessed one of them. Your grandmama, your great-grandpapa, somebody in the family. It's a familiar family spirit. And they may have had, they may have been on wickedness. They may have been, messing, if it's a male, they may have been messing with the young girls. They may have been doing other things. And when they possess this family member, somebody might say, oh, that sounds just like Uncle Charlie. It might be. This is a familiar spirit. So a man or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard, this is somebody that a male that practices witchcraft, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them, that individual person. So familiar spirits a lot of times come by invitation. Native Americans still practice this today in their ritual worship. They will call up dead spirits and speak with them a lot of times, if they're looking for strength, I need your help, and they will let them possess them. If you live in a home that generation after generation has lived in, a lot of people, when they die, don't want to go to sleep. They want to stay right there. The house that we lived in, we moved into when I was 14 in Houston, this house was possessed. It was possessed with something dark. And it actually, now that we look back at it, it fed on the younger children. Like my youngest sister, she's an ordained minister now. But she used to play with this spirit. And she said, be out in the garage. You get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, she's out in the garage playing with this imaginary friend, but it wasn't imaginary. She could see him. We couldn't see him. Now, roll the time forward about 14 or 15 years later, our younger brother is born. Okay? I won't say that. I'm looking at that time wrong. About 4 years later, because I was 18 when I left home, and that's when he was born. So this would have been 4 years later. He's born, and he's doing the same thing. He's out in the garage playing with the same imaginary friend and calling this imaginary friend the same thing my younger sister used to call. Now, he got a hold to, I really believe he got a hold to my younger brother, literally. And so this spirit was in that house when we moved into it. Probably somebody passed and didn't want to leave. But it was wicked. It was evil. And, we felt its presence. And so I know that what I'm telling you, I know that it's real, not something that I've heard, because I've seen some stuff even just in that house. The water in the bathroom just come on by itself. Or there's a picture on the wall that is no way, because the nail that this picture is on is sticking about 2 or 3 inches out the wall, and it's on an eye hook, and this picture flies off the wall. Or you're sitting on the bed, and you feel something sit down beside you. Literally, you feel the bed go down, get up and left. So I know that these things are real, okay? And so they're not anything to be played with. When you understand who you are in Messiah, when you understand the authority that you have, then you don't fear them. I don't have a fear of them like I did when I was younger. because I didn't know what my authority was. But the Most High has trained me up so that I know what my authority is and I don't fear them. So, but if you find somebody that, that has a familiar spirit, Most High said, in our own country, they were supposed to be put to death, because that spirit type of spirit typically comes by invitation. Okay, don't just take over, and really no spirits can just take over somebody. They are invited, even if the person don't know that they're inviting, whether it's a demon or an unclean spirit or a familiar spirit. Even the Most High, he will not come and fill you with himself unless you ask him to. Let's keep going. So this is a familiar spirit. It is an actual entity, but it's typically a family member. Numbers, chapter 11. The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 25. And Yah came down in a cloud. That word there is Ruach, his name, and then his name. And Yah came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit, the Ruach that was upon him, and gave it unto 70 elders. Now what this is saying is the Most High took a portion of his spirit that was on Moses, because Moses was fully filled. And he gave it to the 70 elders. So I'm just going to put a portion of it on them to give them some wisdom that they might judge righteously. Because this really was reserved. The Most High didn't do this for everyone in the Torah. When you read Torah and you read the Old Testament, you read the prophets, you'll find that the Most High put his spirit on the prophets, the prophetess, and his kings. Everybody else didn't have it. He wasn't doing that for everyone. That's why he says, in the latter days, I'm going to do a new work. I'm going to do a new covenant, and I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So as long as you get yourself right and you are submitted to him, then he says, I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to make you my child, but you got to come correct. I didn't used to do that for everybody. I would fill my prophets. They would speak to the people for me. They would represent me. They would talk for me. That's why I said if a prophet said something was going to happen and it didn't happen, he wasn't my prophet. He was pretending, because if I tell him it's going to happen, it's going to happen exactly how I say it's going to happen. And if he says it and it don't happen or don't happen exactly the way he said, he said you were supposed to stone him. You weren't supposed to fear him. If he was a true prophet of the Most High, you were supposed to fear him like you feared the Most High. And this is what a lot of people don't understand even today. If the Most High is in you and speaking through you, a lot of the times people are dealing with someone, they don't realize you're not dealing with that person. You're dealing with the Most High, the spirit of the Most High within that person. So we have to be very careful what we say, how we talk to them, because you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who you might be addressing, and we just want to get puffed up. We want to say what we want to say, and the Most High says, hey, my prophets, if he says he's my prophet, if I have chosen him, if I have filled him, then whatever he says, if he says it's going to happen, it has to happen exactly that way. And if it don't, he says, you shall not fear him. He perpetrating. But if he real, you better fear even that prophet. So I want us to understand this, because we come into this world we're in, and people don't have respect for the men and the women of the Most High, the true men and women of the Most High. Got too many people out there perpetrating. saying and teaching stuff they ought not say and teach. And then you got people believing on them. And then when they see them fall, they see them doing their dirt, they see that they don't have the Spirit of the Most High, then somehow they lose faith with the Most High. Or they get mad at the Most High. Or, you know, they get mad at the body. We're not going to participate. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. Understand that your obedience has to be to the Most High Elohim. Okay? So, Numbers 11:25 again. And Yah came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of his spirit, him as Moses, that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. Now, wait a minute. Don't we hear that in the New Testament? They spake in tongues and prophesied when the Spirit of the Most High came on them. This is nothing new. That's why I said it's a sign. And it's been a sign even in Torah. But you got people trying to explain it away. Oh, no, that's not for today. Yes, it is for today. It's until he stops choosing people and putting his Spirit on them. When that stops happening, then and you haven't done it, then you better be very afraid. So we see here. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Start speaking the word of the Most High. You will see that same thing in the New Testament with anybody who is filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 2. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of Elohim came upon him. Now Balaam is not a Hebrew. He's a Moabite. A Moabite. Balak comes to get Balaam. The Most High has been dealing with Balaam, and he's been dealing with the Moabites. They know to go to Balaam when they need something. We need a blessing, they will go to Balaam. But Balaam is a Moabite. And see, the Most High will use whomever he wants to use. And so Balak has come to Balaam and said, I want you to curse Israel. And Balaam keeps telling him, I can't say but what the Most High says. And so he kept blessing Israel. And Balak would be like, didn't I tell you to curse them? They're my enemy. In the past, he probably was cursing Balak's enemies. And the Most High would honor it because Balaam was one of his prophets. But he wasn't an Israelite. That's like when we go and we see Moses come to Jethro. Okay? And Jethro is a Midianite. He's of the seed of Abraham. And they are worshiping the Most High at Mount Sinai where Moses comes to. Jethro comes and does a sacrifice for Moses and the elders of Israel. He's the high priest of Midian, worshiping the Most High Elohim. So, you know, there are some things that are said and some scriptures that are said that, again, you got to have read and studied your book to know that the Most High as far as taking a people, he says, there's nobody like I've taken Israel. But I've had people in this world worship and serve me all along, and not just Israel. Egypt, ooh. Do you know that the Most High Elohim was a god in Egypt? A lot of people don't know that. And he says they corrupted themselves. Another story. Let's keep going. Because, yeah, whole different, whole another story. Numbers chapter 24, verse 2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the spirit of Elohim came upon him. And he prophesied, but he prophesied a blessing. Okay, and Balak had told him, you know, imagine this, all right, you know the Most High uses you. You don't know how he's using you. You don't know that he's coming upon you. You just know that now you have this ability, and whatever you say or whatever you're told comes true. That's Balaam. And somebody comes to you and says, hey, I will give you a big house, and I will fill it with gold and silver. Fill it up for you if you will come and curse these people for me. This is what he did to, this is what Balak did to Balaam. He said, hey, I can't speak but what the Most High tells me to speak. Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9, verse 23. Judges chapter 9, verse 23. Then Elohim sent an evil spirit. So we've had the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. Now the Most High is going to send an evil spirit. This is an entity. Between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. So the Most High sent an evil spirit in there to cause havoc, to turn the men's heart. And because they were open, this spirit possessed them and caused them to act in ways that cause them to betray Abimelech. But this is an entity. First Kings. And now remember, who sent the spirit? Who sent that evil spirit? The Most High did. And you'll read in the scripture where the Most High says, I create good and I create evil. There's another word that I use, but it means evil. Has evil happened in a city and I did not cause it? When people want to be wicked, the Most High will use them for wickedness. And he will send evil spirits to them to use them. Because they have chosen that. Or they were born into it and indoctrinated in it. You know, it's in the family. We just wicked. We teach our children wickedness. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 21. And there came forth a spirit and stood before Yah and said, I will persuade him. So this is the Most High there in the heavens. And this spirit comes before the Most High and says, he says, who will go? And this spirit stands up and comes and says, I will go, and I will persuade him. This is a spirit. A spirit that don't have flesh, but probably can take on flesh. Second Kings, chapter 2. Second Kings, chapter 2. And it came to pass, chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, I told you, the Most High said, ask, what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit, the Ruach, be upon me. So you are a prophet. You have caused it not to rain. You have done all these things. I want a double portion of the Most High Spirit. He said, hey, you be where you're supposed to be. When I'm taking up, it'll happen. Let's look at spirit as breath or wind, because it's used this way in the scriptures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, verse 22. And actually, I actually want to get a different verse before this. I need to add this to this particular precept. Hold on just a second. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And Yah Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That breath, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it uses the word neshama. Okay? Breath. Doesn't use ruach. He didn't blow the spirit into Adam. He blew wind or air into his nose, just like we breathe air. Okay, so this is the word spirit used, but it's called breath. Okay, it's wind. Okay, so I need to add that one to this and recreate that document that I'm going to send out. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 22. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 22. And maybe we might need 21 and 22 for that. Let me look and see. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 22 is a reference verse, but we might need 21 as well. And get down to 21. Yeah, let's read verse 21 for context. For context. This is during the flood. Okay? And all flesh died, starting in Genesis chapter 7, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Again, in the Hebrew, this word, now let's see here, let me find this verse again, when I change the breath. Okay, it's the same word. Neshama. Now you will have people teaching you that the Most High blew, put his spirit within them. But this is just the air that you breathe. Just like when somebody stops breathing. You put your hand over their mouth. You cover their nose, or you put you cover their nose and put your hand over their mouth, and you breathe your air into them to try to kickstart them to breathe again, to try to kickstart the lungs, just like you jump your car. So he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. That breath and spirit have the same meaning. There's the same, it's a different word in the Hebrew, but in the English they will say spirit. And so a lot of people believe, you know, that the Most High breathed his spirit into Adam. But really all he did was jumpstart him, his lungs, to breathing. He breathed air into his lungs. Okay? So that spirit as air, as a substance, as breath. Let's look at spirit as mind, as a mind. Go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, starting in verse 35. Genesis chapter 26, verse 35, spirit as mind, as like your mind. Which were grief of mine? Grief of mine is an emotion unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Let's go to 41, Genesis 41, verse 8. Genesis 41 and verse 8. We're still looking at spirit as like mind. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit, and he uses ruach here, was troubled. Now, his spirit being troubled, that's his mind, his heart. But typically, we're not even going to get that deep. His mind is troubled. And he sent and called. It's an emotion. But it said his spirit, this is an emotional thing, for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's having this dream. He wants his wise men to interpret it. They can't interpret it. It's really vexing his spirit. It's vexing his mind. It's vexing his emotions. He's troubled. Just like when you worry. You know, it's an emotional thing. You're in your mind, you know, you are focusing on this certain thing, and you don't have a good feeling about it, or you're troubled by it. Okay? Genesis chapter 45. Verse 27. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. He was depressed. He was down. You know, I don't believe you that my youngest son is alive. You just telling me stuff. Why are you bringing up this old stuff and cause, you know, open up this old wound? I stopped thinking about him every day that some animal tore him up like you told me. And then his spirit revived. His emotions lifted up. He became happy. I'm not feeling down in the dumps. Let's look at spirit as a mindset. A mindset. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened or listened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit. and for cruel bondage. This anguish of spirit is because they have made up in their mind that they're going to be hard-hearted. And they feel like, you know, what Moses is telling them is actually vexing them. It's, you're troubling us, but they've hardened their mind. And so the word spirit here, anguish of spirit, is speaking to their mindset. Just like trouble would be also be speaking to a mindset, an emotion. But it's a mindset. You have made up your mind you're going to be a certain way. It's just like when somebody offends you and they make you feel a certain way. He said that your spirit is in anguish because of them. Something about them make you feel a certain way. But your mind is made up. They made me feel like this, and I don't like them. Anguish. Let's look at some more spirit as emotions. Now, I honestly believe and know that there is such thing as an actual spirit of jealousy. It's a being, okay? But you can also have a spirit not be possessed by the spirit, the actual spirit of jealousy. And it's an emotion within you. This emotion is what the spirit of jealousy gives you. But you can get this without actually being possessed by that spirit. Now, somebody who's extremely jealous, who gets jealous for no reason at all, and you wonder, why are you jealous? Why is it that you think every man is looking at me or every woman is looking at me? Why is it that you think that every time I'm having a conversation, it is with, I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing? You know, I could be talking to my son and you get that way, or be talking to my daughter and you be like, why are you talking to him? You know, it's this extreme jealousy about everything that you might want to start looking at possession, a spiritual possession of jealousy, the spirit of jealousy, okay, that they need to be delivered from. Numbers 5 and 14. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, I think I repeated that twice. Hold on. Let me look and see what's actually in the scripture there. Make sure I didn't copy this wrong. And that is Numbers 5:14. Now, Numbers 5:14. Okay. And if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. I missed the not defiled in there. Okay. So this is the spirit of jealousy. And in one case, it's justified that the man is jealous because the woman has been doing things to make him jealous. You know, she's been sneaking around. And you know when things are just not quite right with your spouse. You know that when they seem to be evasive and they say that they're one place, but then you find out they're another, and they always got these wondering eyes and be trying to see if you're looking to be looking at them, and they're accusing you, and you know you're not doing anything. They're doing things to cause you to be what? Jealous. Okay? And so it says, if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, but this could also be reversed, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Defiled means she's been around. She's been sleeping around since they've been married. Okay, she got a little boyfriend, a lover somewhere. It says, if he be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. So now this, in this case, she hasn't done anything. And she may not be doing anything to make him jealous. Maybe it's a past relationship. And, you know, he never healed from that. And he brought that baggage with him. And now he's putting it on her. And so it says, and she is defiled. She is doing things that she's not defiled and she hasn't done anything. But he's accusing her of it because he's been bitten before. Okay. So this is an emotion. This is an emotion that has consumed him. And in this case, when it gets to be this way, in either case, he could have been possessed because of the actual person doing the things and, you know, denying that they're doing them. But they see little bitty things and they let this emotion take over. And that actual spirit comes, and now no matter what's said or done, you know, it has control. And maybe they had it happen to them in a past relationship. They never let the spirit go. They never healed, never got delivered from it. And now things that they're, that the one that they're in a relationship with now, if it even looks a little bit like something that happened in the past, you know, they are insecure and they will accuse. And so the Most High simply says, okay, bring her here, have her to drink this. If she's guilty, then something gonna happen to her body. But if she's innocent, then ain't nothing bad gonna happen to her, and no matter what, you can't accuse her of this no more. Because she's been proven that she hasn't messed around. But this is as a emotion, a mindset that can turn, if it's allowed to go too long, can actually become an actual possession. And then it's hard to get that thing out. Because that spirit is taken over. And the person has to want to, you know, get it out. But that's an emotion starting off. But then if you hold on to it, you use it to for your strength, you know, you justify yourself in it, that actual spirit can actually enter in. Before, maybe just being influencing you. Especially if, you know, there's nothing going on, but you've been bitten before and you look for certain things and this looks like that. Okay. Let's continue. What time we got? 6:23. Let's continue. So spirit as will, like your volition, your willpower to do something or not to do it. Okay, that's talking about your emotional fortitude, your heart. When you got a heart for something or you don't have a heart for something. You know, I just don't want to do that. I don't have a spirit for that. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were on the sea, by the sea, heard that Yah had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore. Their heart melted and their willpower left. There's no spirit. We don't have the will to fight the children of Israel because of what we heard about the Most High. Our heart ain't in this no more. We don't want to go to war with them. Their spirit in them, neither was there, and that there is not T-H-E-I-R, it's T-H-E-R-E, like over there, instead of them, the there that you use with them. So neither was there, like over there, or this thing, spirit in them anymore. There was no will in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So you can say, you know, I don't have no will for that. I don't desire to do that. My mind is not made up on that. I don't really have the will to do that. I don't have the drive to do that. Okay? Second Chronicles chapter 9. The book of Second Chronicles chapter 9, verse 4. And the meat of his table, Second Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 4, and the meat of his table, and the setting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent, by which he went up into the house of Yah, there was no more spirit in her. No more will. She wasn't dead. She was still breathing, but in this case, talking about her willpower. Don't have the will. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit is a spirit that is, it just has no willpower to do anything. It means that this person has lost the will to live. They've lost the will to go on. They are literally wasting away mentally, emotionally. It can also affect their spirit. They just have no willpower, depressed. Okay? A broken spirit, dried the bones. This is a person that whose will is broken. And so, you know, you're wondering, well, why are you acting that way? Why can't you get up? Why can't you do these things? You may be dealing with somebody that has a broken spirit. You know, a lot of times, I knew a young lady that her son took an overdose of methadone. And she was in another state. And, they kept her son alive because he was really brain dead. But they kept him on life support until she got there. And then she watched the life that was, you know, the little bit of life that was in him drain out of him. So like she watched the blood drain from his face. And, you know, they pronounced him dead. Well, that was her last memory of him. And she could not get over it, and she could not get past it. She could not heal from it. You know, she was staying at his grave. It broke her. And it took many years for her to come out of it. And still on that date, the day that he passed, it affects her that way. So this is speaking toward that, a broken spirit, a broken will. Let's look at spirit as strength. Spirit as strength. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 15. The book of Judges, chapter 15. But Elohim clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water throughout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. His spirit came again, and it's just like with Jacob when his was uplifted. This is, he got stronger. His will got stronger. His emotions got stronger. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakor, which is in Levi unto this day. So his spirit came back and he received strength. He received, you know, this could have actually been used the same way with Jacob when he was told about Joseph. That would also be qualifying that way, okay? Let's look at spirit as both entity and breath. Let's go to Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34 and verse 14. Because this word is used in here twice. Job chapter 34 verse 14. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath. Spirit, ruach, and then it uses nahashim, which is also used with ruach in most verses together. But this case has got his spirit, ruach, and his breath, nashama. Spirit being used as a principle, like a principle, like a precept, like a standard. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 6. The book of John, chapter 6, and verse 63. John, chapter 6, and verse 63. It is the spirit that quickens. This is in the Greek, pneuma, like pneumonia. But in this case, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is talking about the principle of reading the word, understanding and using it, and living according to it will give you life. So these words I speak, they are spirit, pneuma, and they are life. You're a spiritual being. When we read the word of the Most High, the words of the Most High are spiritual words. And those words, when spoken, have a spirit in them to cause you to change. But that is to cause your mind and your emotion to change. And they will bring you life. But those words themselves aren't a walking entity in and of themselves. They have to be spoken. They have to be heard. They have to affect a change in a person. to bring about principle in the person. Let's look at the way the word spirit is always used in accordance to the Most High. I think I've only seen, I can't say always, I think I've seen two exceptions in the scriptures where I know it's talking about the Most High, but it doesn't use this formula, this format. When you see the Spirit capitalized, just like in Job, well, actually, when we read John chapter 6, verse 63, the Spirit should have been capitalized there. Should have been the and capitalized Spirit. Because it is talking about the Most High. He's the one that quickens. Okay? And it's talking about the words that he speaks. When you see, so that would be one of those exceptions, that should have been the, and then capital S, Spirit. The Spirit always, when the Spirit, the word is capitalized, it's always talking about the Most High, always. As I showed you in John chapter 6, verse 63, the word there, that should have been capitalized there. It's actually talking about the Most High in the first part of that. And I think there's one other place in Scripture that I found that this particular formula that they use when translating, they missed a word, Spirit, and left it lowercase or translated it lowercase. But when you read it, it's clearly talking about the Most High. So anytime you read in the Scripture, you see the Spirit. It's talking about the Spirit of the Most High. It's talking about the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to put holy in front of it. When you read the word enough, then you understand that when it says the Spirit, like the Spirit of Yah, the Spirit of the Lord, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Always talking about the Most High. Go to Luke chapter 4. Get some examples. So when you're reading your Bible and you see this, understand that you see the Spirit capitalized. It's talking about the Most High. It's talking about the Ruach HaKodesh. You see the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the Most High. It's talking about the Ruach HaKodesh. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. The Spirit of Yah is upon me. So we know that that's talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that'll be in your English, the Spirit of the Lord. But this is talking about the Most High, the Spirit of Yah is upon me, because he has anointed me. He, the Holy Spirit, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yah. Okay, now, one of the things also that I would challenge you on, if you're reading in Torah, in the prophets, you will see the Lord, and you will see it a number of different ways. You will see the Lord, like the, and then capital L, lowercase O-R-D. You will see the, and capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In Torah, whenever you see that word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, or the Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, his name was there, his tetragrammaton of his name. And so when you start reading the scriptures and you start bringing words forward like the Lord, like I say, I don't really like using this word, this name, or this title, because it, number one, they replaced his name. Number two, when you see the Lord in the New Testament, and we equate it to Yeshua HaMashiach, if you don't understand it, then you just think that it's saying, oh, Christ. But when you go back into Torah, into the prophets, and you see who is talking about the Lord in any of those fashions, the Lord God, the Spirit of God, the Lord, that is always talking. In the Old Testament, the Most High never told us that he had a father. Okay? Never said he had a father in the Old Testament. And so I've heard this doctrine that Yeshua is the one that you're talking about in the Old Testament. And he is. But when he comes into the world and he says his father, now he's got a father that is another Elohim, another God, that he didn't tell you about in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, when you study the thing out, if you believe what Torah says to you, what you believe, when you believe what the prophets say to you, the Most High says, I don't know any other God. There is none besides me. I know not any. Now, if he says in the Old Testament, I don't know any other Elohim. There is no God besides me. I know not any. So if he don't know one, you can't know one. And then he comes into the New Testament and says, my father. It trips people up. Because he says, when I come in the flesh, I want you to know me as the Son. There's only one Elohim. There's only one God. And he says, when I'm in the flesh, know me as the Son. And I'm going to refer to myself as the Father in spirit. And I'm going to tell you I sent myself. I sent me into the world. And you're going to look at it and say, oh, there's two. And then some people say, oh, the Holy Ghost is God too. So you see how we get these conglomerations, confusion that it's more than one being? Because he wants us to know him that way. But when you get to see it and study it, then you understand that the Elohim of the Old Testament stepped into the world in flesh, said that he fathered himself, and you would know him as the Son, but he is the Ruach HaKodesh. That's why when you read in the New Testament, you're going to read that Messiah is the one that baptizes you with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Now, if I told you I'm going to pour out of my spirit and I'm telling you that Messiah is the one that gives the spirit, then you have to understand that they are one in the same. Because I told you in the Old Testament, I don't know of another God. I don't have a son right here that I'm doing things through. I'm telling you I'm doing it alone and by myself. And I don't know, maybe the Most High has to show people. Maybe it is not, it's written in such a way that only those that he wants to see it are able to see it. But the truth of the matter is, there's only one Elohim. So we were talking about this word Lord and his name. And when you look at the prophets, they say the Lord is coming. And it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So there's no doubt as to this is his name. Because that's what they did. They took his name and replaced it with Lord. Okay? When the scriptures tell you that the Lord is coming, and the Lord in the Old Testament said, I don't know any other God. And when they bring the Lord into the New Testament and you look at the prophet said, the Most High Elohim is coming. That's who's coming. We get to that word in the New Testament, and now they only apply the word to Messiah. But they don't tell you that they took his name, made it a title, and then gave Messiah another name. So the same Elohim that's in the Old Testament is the same one that came in the New Testament. He says, but when I'm in the flesh, you're going to know me as the only begotten of the Father. That's how I want you to know me. But it's really me, the one who created the world, that told you, I don't know any other God. That's who's talking to you. So when we get into John and we get into the Spirit and we understand that the one that created the world is the one that came into the world. The one that created the world in the Old Testament told us, I don't know any other God. Wait a minute. If you got a father, you don't know him? Oh, wait a minute. If you're the father, you got a son, you don't know him? If the Holy Spirit is something separate from you, you mean you don't know him? If they're saying the Holy Ghost is God too, you don't know him either? I don't know any other God. I don't know any other Elohim. So then you got to know, wait a minute. If the Holy Spirit is Elohim, is God, is who and what he is, and if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're blaspheming the Most High directly, then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Elohim, the Lord in all capital letters, it's one and the same being. Because he says, "You can't. I don't know anyone else." So is he going to believe him and then understand when you come into the new and see him and understand that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Most High says, you know what? I myself, and thank you, Most High Elohim. I myself, from the position of creator, from the position of the Ruach HaKodesh, am going to take a back seat to I myself as the Son. And I'm giving all things into that position to do this work, to save mankind. Because from my position as the Holy Ghost, if you saw me face to face and you were in your sin, I would have to kill you. So I'm going to take a step back and let you deal with me in the flesh, but I want you to know me as the Son in this position. But it's really me, the one who created the world. And I'm the one who created the world. And I told you, I did it alone and by myself. There was nobody there to help me. And I don't know any other God. So when we look at this, when we start getting into being baptized in the Spirit, I want us to understand, make sure that we understand that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the Most High himself. And that is who you have to be filled with. You have to be begotten of him, the Father. He says, I'm going to do this from the position of Son. But it's really me. I'm in flesh, so I want you to know me this way. So know me as the Son of Redemption. I don't want you to deplete, decrease, lessen, put less importance on what I'm doing as the Son, because this is the vehicle by which I'm giving you salvation. And when you understand who he is, then you understand that even in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 29, when he says that if you willfully sin, after you have trodden under the foot the Son of Elohim, if you know that he is Elohim himself, you have trodden underfoot Elohim himself. He says, but I want you to know me as the Son of Redemption, because this is the office that I'm going to give to you. I'm going to make you sons and my children, because you are flesh. But I, in my spiritual form, Don't you even dare try to say anything about me. Don't try to disrespect me, because I won't forgive you for that. That being said, we're at 6:50. When you see the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elohim, when you see the Lord, capital L, lowercase ORD, or you see Lord, capital, all caps, that is always in reference to the Most High Elohim himself. And so what I have done, you know, and for myself, in you know, have programs that I can copy the Bible out of, I changed those things and put his name there, because unless the title is given to show that he has the title, but once you know he has the title, you can just put his name there. Where you see capital G, O, capital G-O-D, you can just put his name. And it would not be adding to or taking away from the scripture. Because what is happening is people hear God, and a lot of times, you know, it's just like my roommate that I had in New York. He'd be out talking to people, and they'd be talking about God. God, that's the word they were using. And one day he realized that they weren't talking about the same being. He thought they were, because in his mind, God is, you know, the creator, the almighty. But that word God can mean different things to different people. And so it don't always mean, you know, if you're talking to a Satanist, who is his God? That is what we have to be careful of. That's why I don't like using those generic words. Because you can be talking to somebody and you say, God, my God is this way. They say, well, my God is that way. Don't mean you're talking about the same entity. But when you say the name, there's no doubt. If you said, Jehovah, my Elohim is this way. They say, Satan, my Elohim is this way. Then we have no doubt about who we're talking about. And this is how the world tricks us, you know, and makes us think that, you know, we're talking about the same things and we're not. So that being said, you should have a very good understanding of the different uses of spirit. And like I said, I'll send this document out. You can print it off or keep it in electronic format, however you want. But understand that when you are dealing with this word in the scriptures, you need to read for context and understand, you know, the formulas that they use when they translated the Bible, because the translation of another language. And they did some things in the translation. They use some, you know, they use a standard. So I would say this. I would say if you had a map and you were reading the map and the map had symbols on it and you didn't have the legend of what the symbols mean, then you could be looking at some stuff and you don't even know what you're looking at. You know, you see a trail and you say, I know this is a trail, but I don't know what this symbol right here means. And I don't know what this symbol right here means. So you got to understand, when they translated the Bible, they used a legend. They had a legend and they said, oh, we translated this word this way. And every time we saw this word, if the context was the same, then we translated it this way. So every place that the Most High's name was in the Bible, they replaced it with Lord. And they tell you that's what they did. In the English, they replaced it with Lord. Okay, but his name was actually there. His tetragrammaton was there. So I just put it back, because I don't want to actually be addressing him as the name of another God in Hebrew that actually translates to that, to Lord. So I put his name back in there, the one I'm convinced of. You put the one that you're convinced of. If you put Jesus there, I wouldn't be offended. Bottom line, that's the name you're convinced of. Okay? All right, so on next week, We will get into the baptism of the entity, the Most High Elohim, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the entity. We're not going to be talking about breath. We're not going to be talking about an emotion. We're going to be talking about actually being filled physically by the Spirit of the Most High Himself. This is what Messiah was talking about. Just wanted to make sure that we were clear on this word Spirit, so that we understand that when we are baptized into the Most High, we are baptized literally filled with His Spirit. We are begotten of Him. We were designed that way. So we can be filled by Him, or we can be filled by another entity, another spirit. That's the way man's spirit works. We were designed that way. And so when we're doing this foul stuff and saying that it's of the Most High, then I would say no. Okay. That being said, let us bow our heads. Let us pray. Father, we know that You have given us this written word, and we come before You now, Father, humble in spirit. Father, teach us, open our minds and our eyes that we might want only You, that when we hear strange doctrine, that we know to forsake it, that we look for You, Father, in all that You have given to us. Father, we want to be filled with You. You are a spirit. You designed us to be filled by You, to complete us. And if we don't allow You to fill us, something else can take Your place. And Father, we don't want that. We only want to be filled with You. We want to be Your children. We don't want any unclean spirits taking up residence. And if there's any that are about, we want to chase them out. Anything that is not You, Father, we want to chase it out. We only want to be filled by You and You alone. Father, we thank You this day. On next week, Father, as we learn of Your plan to fill us with You, with Your Spirit, Father, we pray that anyone that has not experienced that they humble themselves, that they would have the same experience that is written in this book, and that they would be completely cleaned out, that they would make room for You in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. I'm going to play this song. Maybe it'll make sense to some now. Let me find it real quick. What is the name? Give me a hot second. This will bless you. Yeah. Listen to this song. Because we really do need to make room in our lives, in our heart, in our body, for the Most High. Just check out the things that this brother says that we may use in place of.
I find space for what I treasure, and I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, You're my number one. So I will make room for You. I will prepare for two, so My attitude. find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities. Jesus, you're my number one. What I lack, you are full of. And where I'm broken, you are whole. And what I'm doubting, you are sure of. For I'll trust the lover, lover of my soul.
Let me hear y'all sing that one time. What I lack, say.
What I lack, you are full of. You are full of. Where I'm broken,
without you, there's no need. I need a